A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees. He said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or sisters or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord. Several things come together for me as we celebrate this particular day. It is a day on which we can also commemorate St. Charles Borromeo, certainly a significant figure in post-Reformation implementation of the Council of Trent. But when I think of Charles Borromeo these days, it reminds me of someone who had a great dedication, devotion to him, and who studied him intensely, and that was Pope John the 23rd, whose canonization is something for which we prepare as well. Partly because I've just finished watching a movie, a very touching movie, on the life of Pope John the 23rd, the Pope of Peace, even recalling his encyclical, Pacem in Terris. But partly also because John the 23rd makes me think ahead to our current Pope, Pope Francis, and the emphases within his current papacy on simplicity of life, on dedication to the poor and the disadvantaged, on wanting to see the church move beyond the trappings that hide in some ways the heart of the gospel and what Jesus was all about. All of these come together when we hear the gospel according to Luke. Charles Borromeo, Pope John the 23rd, Pope Francis, because the gospel of Luke is so clear, in which Jesus tells the Pharisee to whose home he has come to dine, that it's better not to invite those who will invite us back. And how often we do that, even though that might not be our motivation as such, but we would tend to invite those with whom we might have a more reciprocal kind of relationship, not one in which there seems to be no advantage whatsoever for us. But the lesson, it seems to me, in the gospel, when we think about inviting the poor, and today this could include the unborn, although they aren't going to be invited to the feast, but those who are to be kept in mind, or the elderly in many societies who have lost their utility and therefore respect, but also certainly the homeless, the economically poor, the unemployed, so many in different ways, socially disadvantaged or vulnerable. To think of a relationship with them which will not be reciprocal because they cannot reciprocate in the ways that we are able to do so. What sense is there in that? But it makes us think of a very important aspect of our Christian lives. Not to do something for a reward. Now in that, there's a little twist, even in our gospel text today, because after Jesus says, invite these, they can't repay you, but you will be repaid at the resurrection. In other words, how often are our actions not motivated in some ways by that sense of reward, even if it means eternal rewards. And certainly we as Christians and Catholics so often think of our eternal reward. But I think the real challenge of the gospel, and of someone like Pope Francis, is to do it because it's good, because it's the right thing to do. I don't think of Pope Francis, nor of Pope John the 23rd, as having done what they did, with having in the back of their minds all the time, my eternal reward. They do it out of a sense of compassion, out of a sense of solidarity, out of a sense of a heartfelt something about what is, in the end, truly good. What is right? What does it mean to be human, humane? And it means to reach out to those who suffer, even though they may not be able to reciprocate. So at the heart of our gospel today is that challenge to invite the poor because they're poor, but also because they are unable to reciprocate what might be our generosity. And in that, we ourselves then are being benefited simply by growing in our awareness that we are called to do the good, and not to think of it as some reward apart from that. Even in that, there is that benefit to us of growing in what it means to be good. But it's not a reward, it's simply the good. And so I would encourage us also not to look at what we do and who we are and all our actions as in some ways meriting an eternal reward. Although within Catholic thought, that makes sense and is there. But let us not let that become our primary motivation. Let us just open our doors to all the marginal because they are God's children, not receiving the benefits of a society in the ways that we might, and so it is simply doing the good.